it's coming. Rut for us. Rut for us.
Hampton.
Alshon.
Dan Hampton.
Guys, I can't take
OB. It's all about that game.
Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, okay. Guys.
Hey! What's the question?
Glenn Kozlowski.
Okay, let's move on.
Touchdown, Bears.
An OB show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com. On the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
Well, it's not officially over, but we're throwing in the towel. 7 seconds to go. 31-17. The Dallas Cowboys on top of the Bears, who do have the ball at the Cowboys 16. So if they can get into the end zone, get an onside kick, get it back and score again, they could win the game.
But see, the way you get it into the end zone is actually not throw it out of the end zone. And yet again, Brian Hoyer with another fade route that he throws out of the it's.
I didn't really mind Brian Hoyer tonight.
No,
he had no chance there, Glenn. He was covered like a blanket.
I get it, but it's just, you know, in general, this is a bad team. John Fox is a horrific coach, and quite frankly, I'm just tired of watching this garbage. And it's 3 weeks in, Ed. I can't watch this. It's look, whether they get a cheap touchdown here or not, they got manhandled by a below-average Dallas Cowboy team tonight.
So the start of the show is being sponsored by Martin Nissan, and the final play of the game is incomplete. So it is a final now. 31-17 Dallas. Start of Hampton will be with Kaz, sponsored by Martin Nissan. Guys, this is how I'm looking at it, and you can take it a million different ways, but I think
hold
we
that thought a little bit. Martin Nissan is sponsoring the opening spot here.
They are OB.
Yeah, well, that's Todd Martin. He's got the Nissan store, I think in Skokie, and then he's got a big Chevy store out in Crystal Lake. He's a great kid, comes from a good car family.
All right, Todd, we love you, baby. So here's what I think should happen, team. I think you got four questions for the Bears to consider here. Number one, who are they drafting at quarterback in the draft?
There's some good ones coming up this
year,
too.
There's a lot. Deshaun Watson. So we don't need to go through it tonight. We can do that. We got 13 weeks to go here. But who's going to draft him? Is Ryan Pace still going to be the general manager of this team? Who's going to coach him? Is John Fox going to still be the head coach? And who's playing with him? Who gets to stay on this? I mean, to me, that's where we're at. I know I'm jumping ahead here, OB.
It's week three, and we're already talking this way.
I think what we've got to start looking at, because this Dallas team is a team that you could have taken down. Defensively, they've got nobody. They have no game changers. There's nothing really super particular about any the front three or four, the linebackers, the cornerbacks, the deep backs. There's nothing. And I'm going to tell you what. When are we going to go to the Mike Mueller game-changing moment?
Since you brought it up, OB, you said game-changer. I was going there, and now, since you led me there, because you're a professional,
all right.
The Mueller game-changing moment is sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Highland Park, Gurnee, Hoffman Estates, and Merrillville. Go ahead. What's your Mueller game-changing moment?
And, Mike, this goes out to you. Like at the game-changing moment, so it's got to basically be like, Glenn, what, one play should be like what?
Yeah,
that's
right.
Probably the game-changing moment. The game-changing moments for me was Prescott. He is a rookie. He is a third-string backup. Rookie quarterback taken in the fourth round. Okay? Mm-hmm. We could not get to this kid. Our inside men, our outside men, and our blitzes could not shake this kid up. Again, drafted in the fourth round, third-string backup, rookie quarterback. By the way, which is basically we played against three rookie quarterbacks the opening games. We're 0-3. What? I have no idea what Fangio was thinking about. Says, let that kid run around back there and pick us apart in the defensive backfield. And when they ran the football, they ran through us, over us. We couldn't stop them, period.
Yeah, it's...
That's one.
It's the tough part is we invite you to call it 312
981-7200.
Yes, I'm glad, because I would have went to what I've known for about 20 years, so I was getting ready to fire out the wrong number.
Let me just
call in. But
wait, before you go on, just to follow up on OB there, Ezekiel Elliott had 30 carries for 140 yards tonight. That's just under 5 a carry. Dak Prescott was 4 for 36, 9 yards a carry. Alfred Morris, 5 for 19. They ran for 199.
Do you have a point on all this?
Well, I just wanted to back up OB saying that they ran all over the place, 199 yards on the ground to the Bears 73. Continue on. I'm sorry.
And they couldn't rattle Prescott. They couldn't. We couldn't get in his face. We couldn't do anything.
Ed, he would just step up with pressure. Also, though, if you got somebody coming off the edge, he'd step up. Look, your two number ones under Ryan Pace, Kevin White. He had flashes tonight of he made one spectacular catch.
Against
he also
a nobody defense.
He also dropped pretty much a catch that any player that calls himself a pro, he drops. You see these guys running routes. They don't run it. They half the time they look like they're running full speed. It is strange to watch this. It's hard to stomach. And just for Zach Miller.
Oh.
And I like the kid. I always have. I like that he plays hard. But when you're getting your backside handed to you, save the blowing of the kisses and pointing to the crowd. When you're down by three scores, you don't get to do that. Just rule of thumb.
That was pretty incredible, I thought. Here's a guy, too. Like, you look at Zach Miller, and you think somebody who respects the game, somebody who's been through the trials and tribulations, healthy, not healthy, and here he is acting like he just won the Super Bowl, getting in the end zone.
It's a joke. It's disgusting.
Well, let me tell you what I saw out there again tonight. Our defensive backs, especially the cornerbacks, at this particular time in your career, when you're playing at this level and you're a cornerback or a strong side safety, a free safety, whatever you are, or a linebacker, you cannot get spun around. You cannot turn your back to the receiver. Okay?
And this was in the red zone that this happened, too.
This absolutely, it was absolutely unbelievable. It was a short post pattern, and our cornerback doesn't shade him to the inside. He shades him straight up, playing back 4 or 5 yards. This guy just runs, plants his right foot, bang. He breaks inside. Our cornerback, folks, turn around to his left, to the sidelines, spun all the way around, and came after him chasing. By that time, everything was done. It was all over with. That happened twice today that I saw that. Again, let me say this. Not at this level, and you're a defensive back, you do not play that way. You constantly keep that receiver in front of you. Whether it's a corner route, whether it's an inside route, you have your footwork and you're ready. Now, the next question I got to ask everybody here, Glenn and Mark, what are these position coaches teaching these kids?
Well, I mean, look, Ed, what did I tell you about that?
This is not excusable.
No,
this
but well, what did I tell you? I said in high school.
Yeah, I'm saying, the kid made a mistake.
No.
He made a mistake, all right. In high school, he would have made a mistake.
No, in high
school. Not at this level.
Ed, what I told you was in high school, as a high school football coach, he wouldn't be out on the field if he made that mistake, for me, personally. So the answer to your question is, These position coaches,
What are they teaching them?
Nothing. Clearly nothing. You got these number ones, and they're not making impact plays. Forget about the injuries, Mark. You talked about lack of talent. What I see out there is just poor game planning, poor execution, and really just not a lot of heart being shown.
And what you're seeing back there, when we go to a passing game, it's the same thing when Cutler was in there. And it's you look at the same sets, they run the same sets for three games, and we have a quarterback that drops back, and they're going to tee off after this guy. And by the way, again, the Dallas defense is awful. They're not very good at all. They don't have an exceptional defensive player, not a one on their 11 starting defense. And they held us pretty good, okay? Now, next week, we're going to come in to playing actual quarterbacks who are starting quarterbacks in this league instead of three rookies, okay? We got Detroit coming in. in our home place, our hometown, our field, and I'm going to tell you, these Bears better be ready for it, or they're going to throw that ball. I'll guarantee you they'll throw it for over 200 yards easy come Sunday.
Matthews. Well, they'll do it in the first half. They went over 200 in the first quarter.
Matthews.
Cowboys tonight. Go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to say the Lions.
I'm talking about the Lions.
I know, but
here.
I'm saying tonight the Cowboys went over 200 yards in the first quarter.
And just under 200 yards running.
Matthew Stafford had 3 touchdown passes today is what I was trying to get out there. All right.
That's against the Packers.
Yeah.
I mean, was it the Packers?
It was.
Yeah. It was.
312-981-7200. You want to jump on in, express some dissatisfaction with the start of the season, feel free. Ed Donatell is your Bears defensive backs coach. 25 years of coaching experience in the NFL, 37 years total, just for the record.
All you got to do was on the screen or be in the films. Just take a look at it, folks.
Hey, OB, I'm with you. All right, quick timeout, 720 WGN.
Fourth and goal. We're trying to make it a two-possession game. And touchdown. That is Zach Miller, who just did get to the goal line before he was forced out for the moment. Forward progress nets the touchdown for Chicago. And that is caught, and that is a touchdown for Zach Miller. So he keeps going Miller's number, blows kisses to the crowd in the end zone, and the Bears are back within 2 touchdowns.
Rumor is that Zach Miller is still celebrating down in Dallas.
Well, he might as well, because, I mean, look, we were only 2 touchdowns down. Wow. Way to go, Zach.
Who Lit It Up, sponsored by Nika IBEW, Local 134 Chicago, your complete energy solutions provider. We'll give it to you, Zach Miller. You lit it up tonight, baby.
Yeah, Zach Miller's the guy. Actually, Glenn, he had 8 receptions for 78 yards and 2 TDs. So kudos to him for that.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like I said, he's one of those kids I pull for him. I want him to do well. It just was too much. When you're losing, you give the ball to the ref and you say, let's get going again, guys. You don't do all the stupid stuff.
You know the thing that's hard? I was really promoting the Bears this season, this offseason, especially when they stepped up to the plate and brought the two guys in, Freeman and Trevathan, and the inside to replace those numbskulls we had playing on the inside with us. And I'm going to tell you, I really thought I felt good about it, till they got into the draft, and then after the draft, the decision made to get rid of a certain football player that took the air out of me, because I could not believe that they would make a decision like that to get rid of a kid like Clawson. I have no idea, and I still don't, on God's green earth. Big mistake.
Hampo.
Hey, guys. We actually saw a little offense there in the second half.
Garbage time.
But from the top to the bottom, guys, we've talked about this not only, you know, the second week, but the first week, that this was a team that was ill-equipped and inept about going out and asserting itself. And Kaz, you made the point. The Cowboys had lost their last 8 games at AT&T Stadium. They were a team looking for us to come in there and put a thumping on them. And yeah, we all know we got some injuries. We got a backup quarterback, but you know what? The Cowboys, they were the aggressor. They came out first play of the game. They ran an isolation play right at our number 4 draft pick, who was starting tonight, Kwiatkowski, and the poor kid got swallowed up. And Ezekiel Elliott ran for 21 yards, and that set the tone for the game. And the whole night, they controlled the tempo. They controlled the ball. And you know what? Once again, even though, like I said, there was a few bright spots, and we'll talk a little bit more about it, we are not a team wanting and willing to commit ourselves to domination. We need to be able to say, whoever we got in a bear suit is going to be good enough. We're going to line up, and we're going to get something done. We didn't get it done tonight. And I was listening to you guys talk about the fire drill in the secondary. Brzezinski and Hall and Glenn and all these.
Getting spun around, Dan.
Hey, they They were lost. And I was indignant about the way they played the first two games. I'm starting to feel sorry for the Bears because of the injuries and the lack of preparation and lack of quality coaching. We're looking like fools out there.
Here.
It's an embarrassment, not fools. This is an embarrassment.
We had the game-changing moment we were talking about, and I still can't believe that Vic Fangio, with the guys, and we do have some quality players on defense, that you mean to tell me, and I'm going to say it again, a third-string backup rookie draft, a rookie drafted in the fourth round, beats us. We can't get to him. Our pressure can't come up from the middle. We can't come up from the outside. We can't get there with a blitz. And this kid throws the ball over the middle, left, right. He did everything he wanted for four quarters, and we never got to him.
Never touched
him. There's a huge problem here, gentlemen.
You're exactly right, OB. And here's the thing. If you want to get a quarterback on the ground, you can do it. Okay, they're going to throw the ball over the top. But they're doing it anyway.
Dan,
Let's at least hit somebody.
Dan,
let's knock a quarterback around. Why do our quarterbacks have to be the only one on the injured list every week?
You know what? And a guy can't get over it. How can you not? This is basically the third rookie quarterback that we played in the first three games.
He was 19 of 24 tonight. I'll do the math for you guys. That's a 79% completion percentage. And as you're saying, he wasn't sacked once.
We didn't touch him.
Touched, whatever.
We didn't touch him. And, here's the other part
about
it.
That's the crime. That's the crime of it. You want to talk about all the things that went on here today, offensively and defensively. How the hell do you have that quarterback, a third stringer, rookie, come in and dazzle you with his footwork, with his passing ability, and dominate the game at the quarterback position? How is that possible? You could have a defensive coach let that happen.
I watched him last week, by the way, against the Redskins, and he made a lot of great throws, but he made a bunch of them under duress, and he was getting hit all the time.
Right. The Redskins got after him, and that's really...
We don't get after anybody.
Right?
We get after the pay window on Tuesday.
Hey, listen.
Hey, we're all lined up there. Hey, there's a fist fight to get to the pay
remember,
window.
Remember, John Fox, and again, I'm just going to say it, he has this dumb look on his face all the time, and he's staring up to the big Jumbotron, and you're thinking, how can that inspire you if you're a player? You shouldn't be inspired, but you're going to follow that guy with that dumb look in his face all the time?
You know, OB and I was walking down, unfortunately, to the bunker. We're going to start calling it the bunker where we got to go in there and watch the shelling week after week that everybody's given our Bears. But we're walking, and I said, sometimes in the game of checkers, you can miss a move, but you can still win the game. In chess, if you make a bad move somewhere, then it's a chain reaction, and it's a collateral damage all the way down, and it's hard to recover. And your head coach is the guy that is supposed to be the figurehead that is always thinking not only a play ahead, but maybe a series. Or if you're on offense, you're thinking defensively what you want to do. And you look at this guy looking up at the screen, and you think for a second he's contemplating anything other than what's on the bus in the box that we get to eat on the way to the airport.
How much longer is this game going to be?
312-981-7200. We will take your calls after the 11 o'clock news. Thank you for being patient. Hey, thanks also to Mr. Submarine for the food tonight. Good food at a tasty price. Mr. Submarine, yes.
Just quickly before we go.
Okay.
I believe is the most important down in professional football is the third down. The ability to convert on third down. Gentlemen, we were 2 of 10. That equates to 20%. They were 5 of 11 for 45% with a kid like that at quarterback.
Ed, we didn't have a first down until the second quarter with about 6 minutes to go or 5 minutes.
It was 10 minutes,
48
seconds.
You know, the sad thing
about
this is,
that was our first down.
You want to find something nice to say.
Dallas had 19 first downs in the first half. 19 first downs.
To our three.
It was a trampling.
We couldn't get to them, Dan. We couldn't do anything. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. You'd love to say something nice. I mean, for me personally, I was born and raised in this area. I went to high school, to college, everything here. And my God, we're getting beat at home. We're getting beat away by teams that should not be beating us.
Let me just say this, and folks, and we're not chastising the players individually or collectively. I'm just telling you, we've got issues about who's playing, who's on the roster and why they're on the roster. But more importantly, we're not being coached properly. And I'll just give you, for instance, the team we saw last week was coached by a guy named Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson was coaching high school in 2008, Kaz. He's now, I think, maybe the best thing going. Today, watching his team, the Philadelphia Eagles, take apart the Pittsburgh Steelers, I thought, you know, hey, this was just a one-night whim, you know, what he did to us. The guy with a rookie quarterback, and an offense that was in disarray last year, they look like a machine. And I'm just saying, as OB's, you know, point is, we're not playing, you know, Johnny Unitas and Brett Favre's, and we're playing Brett Osweiler, who had started a total of 7 games before we saw him on opening day. Last week, Carson Wentz, he had played 1 game in the NFL, and tonight, Dak Prescott, he had played 2 games. So we're not talking about Murder's Row here that we're having to deal with. We should have been in all of these games. Instead, we get shellacked.
312-981-7200.
There's nothing, real quick before you go again, there's nothing offensively, there's nothing set, there's nothing we could put our hat down on. We do nothing. We don't run well, we don't pass well. Sometimes the play calling is just god-awful.
Collins,
defensively, we can't get to anybody. Boy, this has got to stop.
We can't cover anybody either.
Collinsworth and Al Michaels were having that conversation. So what would you say the Bears' identity is? And there's like crickets in the booth.
There's nothing we can hang our hat on.
They don't have one.
A coach, that's your job to identify whatever it is. If it's the janitor and he's got a great – he can keep the team loose. There, you identify what you can do. We haven't done anything.
Quick, we don't do anything. We don't run. We don't pass. There's no sense of urgency. And all what you get, folks, is what you saw again tonight. And I'm going to tell you, you got Detroit coming in here this coming Sunday. Oh, my Lord.
Quick timeout. One more hour to go. 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hampton OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Hey, 1 hour to go here. Hampton OB with Kaz taking up till midnight.
Well, less than an hour now. It was...
Okay. 49 minutes to go. Hampton,
no, I'm saying you don't.
Hampton,
just kept going and going.
It's just getting testy around here tonight. Hampton will be with Kaz, sponsored by Parent Petroleum and the Patrick Dealer Group as we get the 11 o'clock hour rolling. How's that, Kaz?
Better, okay? Yes.
Thank you.
Well, the one thing that you can say positive about the Bears, you know, when the Globetrotters were in their heyday, they had a team that they played every week. It was called the Generals.
Yeah.
Remember that? We're basically the NFL's
That's
version.
What we are. Yeah,
we
you're
make
right.
stars out of everybody. Brock Osweiler is now a star. Carson Wentz, he's a star. What about Ezekiel Elliott? Comes out with 140 yards on national TV against us. He's a star. Dak Prescott, he's a star. He looks like he, Johnny Unitas.
Fourth round.
We're making stars. Yeah.
Let's hit up the phone lines here, team. 312-981-7200. Mike in Rockford's been waiting since the show started. Wants to get in there. What's up, Mike?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, you guys were saying something about the Bears changing the coaching regime after this year and all that. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something, to be really honest with you. I was looking at the schedule. I was in hold. And I could foresee the Bears going 2-14, realistically. Maybe even 0-16. And I'm being serious about this. I don't think they have a winnable game in their division. Even the Detroit Lions, as bad as their defense is, Stafford put up almost 383 yards passing. He's going to eat the Bears secondary alive. Bears are not even a home team. They're horrible at home. They have a horrible home record. So what? Why do we even talk about it? Well, they got them coming to Soldier Field. Big deal. That's detrimental to the Bears. So realistically, guys, I could see them winning possibly 2 games. Now, here's the question I have for you. If they were to go 0-16 or 2-14, do you see them getting rid of Pace? Do you see them getting rid of Fox? Do you only see them getting rid of Fox, keeping Pace, or will there be no changes or completely new slate? Guys, I appreciate it. I'll hang up and listen for your answer. Thanks.
All right, Mike.
Mike, let me tell you, let me jump in first, Mike. I can my thing, they will keep Fox and Pace for one more year. They'll give him, what, 3 years?
George said he's going to be patient. George McCaskey has gone on record as saying he's going to give he's going to give them
one. I believe they're going
to
they will give him one more year.
I bet they get two more.
Let's just make for our argument's sake what Mike's saying. Let's say they really finish 2-14. Hampel, what do you think happens?
Well, first and foremost, the you know it's like everybody screaming, get rid of Cutler. Who are you going to get? Well, they decide to get rid of Fox. Okay, then you start looking at coordinators or the next, you know, young rising star or whatever you want to call it. I don't see that happening for the simple reason, like OB said, George has now he's got the general manager that he selected. He's got the coach that they all agreed upon. And quite honestly, the defensive staff has a pedigree. And this absolute inability to translate into something winning as far as some type of a competitive brand of football on the field is mystifying. But most importantly, I think personally it would be a mistake. And the reason is, what have we been screaming? OB, you know, we talked about the signing of Akeem Hicks and Jarrell Freeman and Danny Trevathan and the thought that we're going to be so much better on defense. And we can't even touch the opposing quarterback. Yeah, we got some guys nicked up and they're out, but we're just not very prepared as a football team. And what does that have to be? The blame has to be laid at the feet of the coaches. But that, all that being said, like I said, George is the president, and he has went on record saying he's going to be patient, and these are his guys. These aren't people that he inherited. He proactively was a part of bringing them here, and I think you're going to have to suffer through it until, you know, until something happens.
Well, here's the tougher part too is that, look, you could not have a lot of talent and still get your team to play hard.
Be competitive.
I'm saying? Just playing hard. You look at Dallas and say whatever you want, but their D coordinator, he's trying to figure out how to get pressure on quarterbacks with guys
with
that
nothing.
You've never heard
he
of.
He has nothing.
And he's constantly changing up. But what you do see is he preaches everybody runs to the football when it's in the air. So these guys fly around the field and they hustle. What they lack in talent, they make up in hustle. There is zero hustle on this team. There appears to be zero desire to win for their coach or the organization. It is missing anything that would make you a quality or good football team. Yeah. It's lacking right now.
There's no redeeming quality right now.
Nothing
to
like about this team. Yeah.
There's nothing to like.
Mike, what I think might happen, and like I said earlier, I do believe that they will keep them. But I'm going to tell you what I think people who the jobs will be in jeopardy are the position coaches. After three games, I see a lack of leadership by the position coaches, a lack of direction, and a lack of performance. And the players do not spend a lot of time with Fox, almost nil. They don't spend a lot of time with the offensive or defensive coordinator. Who they spend morning, noon, and night with are their position coaches. And so far to me, those are the ones that are failing these players. They are not ready for these kids to play football. Why do I say it? All you have to do is look at the last three games, offensively and defensively, and then you tell me if those kids are ready to play. And those are the people, again, the position coaches, who make it happen. The only thing that might change, Mike, would be at the end of the year, fine, Fox is here, Pace is here, but I'll guarantee you, there'll be several coaches that will not be here. Position coaches will not be here. You can make book on it.
312-981-7200. The defensive star of the game, brought to you by your local Chevy dealer at Chevy Drives. Chicago.com. Three games in, guys. I think it's a broken record, Hamp. It's got to be Jarrell Freeman, right? 12 tackles tonight?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, you know, some of those guys, they're in there scratching. You know, Willie's scratching, and Akeem Hicks, he was, I watched him, they put him on Zach Martin. They're all
he goes hard, yeah.
I mean, he
plays hard.
Yeah, he was really, you know, jamming it up and doing what he could, but, you know, And your point, and that I think everybody wants to kind of make it more crystalline, is the fact that we are being beaten, not so much physically, but out of technique. You know, you watch Leonard Floyd, and I know he's a rookie, but guess what? You had all preseason to work with this kid. Now he started three games, and he can't cover a tight end to save his life. He gets turned around, and you
inside
know,
the fundamentals. He got beat just, inside and then back outside
the technique
on one
and fundamentals
play.
Are hideous, and you cannot play defense. You know, the old thing, keep contained, force fill, all those things, it's out the window with this bunch.
Hey, Bears fans, grab a copy of the Chicago Tribune at Jewel Osco this Sunday to collect your 2016 Chicago Bears Fathead Tradables. Collect all eight now through October the 30th. Quick time out here. Back with your calls, and we'll talk to Adam Hoge down in Dallas after 11:30. If it go, I want to follow up on the who's making these decisions going forward or coming back. 720 WGN. Hey, the quarterback comparison sponsored by Westfield Ford. Westfield Ford, where straightforward people and straightforward prices are just a whistle away. This is Hampton. I'll be with Kaz. We're with you till midnight. 312-981-7200. Brian Hoyer for the Bears tonight. 30 of 49, 317 yards, two touchdowns, quarterback rating of 93.7. Which is better than Jay's had all season, just for the record. 19 of 24 for Dak Prescott, 248 yards, quarterback rating of 123.6. I would say that Dak Prescott was slightly better than Brian Hoyer tonight, but he was under a lot less duress.
A lot less pressure. But, you know, the other part of this is 49 attempts. Last time I checked, guys, you know, we were talking, we want to be the bad boys that come in running and get off the bus running, and we ran 15 times. Although we did run pretty well when we had, you know, our mindset on trying to run the ball, we ran 15 times for 73 yards, which is almost 5 yards a carry. And yet we only run 15 and we throw it 50. So, yeah, we were down.
And the coaches would say, well, it's because we got behind early. Well,
And hold on a second here. They ran it 15 times, but three of those runs were Brian Hoyer. So they really ran it 12 times. And 9 for 45 for Jordan Howard. That's 5 yards a carry. 3 for 31 for Jeremy Lankford. That's 10 yards a carry.
Yeah, but let's don't run the ball. Let's try to get into a pitch and catch contest. And let me just tell you how important – having a quarterback basically go through a game without even having to wash his uniform. Prescott targeted Beasley 7 times for 7 catches. Williams, 4 times, 4 catches. Dez Bryant, you know, he was targeted 6 times and caught 3 of them. The point is, unless you are able to put a quarterback under duress and force him into poor throws, bad throws, interceptions, strips, all these. A rookie can beat your brains out. We see it. We've seen it two weeks
like seven
in a row
on
now.
Seven. They're going to torch you if they have all the time in the world to throw the ball.
Exactly. So beyond all, you know, this rubble of 3 losses in a row, you start looking at why are we getting beat? We've got to find a way to manifest a pass rush. And, you know, it's not working. And you know what? That's the reason. That was the genesis of the 46 defense. Buddy Ryan realized, hey, I don't care if I got dock workers. We're going to find a way to get to the quarterback. If I got a blitz, 5, 5, 6, 6, 7, whatever it takes, I'm going to get to the quarterback and rattle him around so he doesn't hit Beasley 7 out of 7 times. Williams 4 out of 4 times. Witten 2 out of 2. I mean, that's 100%, folks. That's 9-on-7 drill with in practice when nobody's around. You've got to get a way to get pressure.
Danny, we don't blitz. We don't go after people. Now, what the reason why is, I have no idea. My God, we're 0-2. We're in there fighting for our lives, and what happened again tonight was this was the worst thing. What happened again tonight? This is a team that we could have beaten, truly could have beaten. They have a defense that is absolutely there. It's a nobody defense.
Let's get one call in here. Obi, Chris in Midway has been patient. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey guys, pleasure to speak with you.
Thanks, buddy. I mean, Chris.
It's an embarrassment to watch the great Nick Fangio's defense get pants 2 weeks in a row by a rookie that you can't put any pressure on. You knew today they were going to run the ball down your throat, so why not make Prescott beat you with his arm? And they've done nothing nothing to stop any of this. And it's an embarrassment as a city.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate
you're
you.
Right. You're 100% correct, Chris.
Hey, one more. Tom in Medina. Go ahead, Tom.
Hi. How you doing?
Good, Tom.
Is something wrong with the Bears organization more deeply than just the coaches? I mean, really, we've won one Super Bowl in 50 years. We have a kind of a pattern of frustration, and it's gotten so bad this year that watching the Bears has actually become boring because they perform so poorly and there's no expectation that they're going to get better. Is there something wrong? How much under the cap are we this year? And we put this level of talent on the field and this level of depth on the field.
Thank you, Tom. It's not a money issue. They spend the money. They just don't spend it properly.
They identify they don't have an identity. You have a coach that clearly looks like he just wants to get on the bus, have lunch or dinner and head home. And this is how they play. So I understand your frustration. They're maxed to the cap, but they just don't. They miss on their number ones. They're missing all the time.
Hey, let's take a quick time out, get into news. We'll talk to Adam Hoge from Dallas coming back here, and we're with you till midnight. 720 WGN.
Touchdown, Bears!
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OP Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Hamp and OP with Kaz, taking you up to midnight tonight. Adam Hoge, his locker room report is sponsored by C.J. Wilson Mazda online at ZoomNation.com. And the injury report brought to you by the Rogers Auto Group in the New South Loop. Let's bring Adam in from Dallas and start there. Well, Hoagie, not good. How are the Bears, at least health-wise? That wasn't too bad tonight.
Yeah, well, the possible serious one could be Jeremy Langford, who left with an ankle injury. He had a boot on that right leg as he left the locker room tonight. John Fox said he still doesn't know how serious it is, so I'm sure there'll be more testing done there. Otherwise, Harold Jones-Porte, the safety, had a concussion, but that was about it in terms of injuries that held guys out of the game.
Well, where do we go from here, Adam Hoge? Because I've got here. This is what I think is important, and I've been trying. What quarterback are they drafting? Who's going to draft him? Who's going to coach him?
Yeah.
And who's he going to play with? And to me, that's what's left already of the season.
Well, the question I had for John Fox after the game, and I asked him this, he, of course, didn't really give me much of an answer, but look, you're 0-3 for the second straight year. And honestly, you played worse teams in the first 3 weeks of the season than you did last year when you faced the Packers, Cardinals, and Seahawks. All three of those were playoff teams and good teams. So I asked him, where has the growth been in from year one to year two, and are you surprised that there hasn't been more of it? And, you know, he basically just said he didn't want to compare years. I can understand why, because it hasn't gotten any better. But it's certainly, it's pretty concerning that there hasn't been more growth like we expected.
That's a great question, by the way, and I'm very proud of you for asking it. I mean, honestly, he doesn't want to compare years, huh? Hampo?
Well, and obviously, I'm sure he, you know, shucked and jived and made some kind of a poor excuse. The thing that is distressing us is the fact that outside of Sean Lee, nobody on that Dallas defense, you know, would start for anybody else in the league. And yet, we're mystified, you know, about how to attack them. And then finally, we do get a little bit of garbage time in the second half where we score 14 points, but the game was already out of control. And sooner or later, everybody's going to have to be held responsible. And where does the, you know, last week after the Philadelphia debacle, in the newspaper, they graded all the positions. Well, they gave the coaching staff an F. Is John Fox still, in your mind, able to look this team in the eye and challenge them, or do you think everybody's already checked out?
Well, I don't think so yet, but I do think we're starting to get in some dangerous territory because look, we talked to Willie Young, who I thought was great in the locker room after the game. I sent that to you guys if you could sneak it in before midnight. But he was very animated that guys need to play with 100% effort the entire game. And then I followed up and I said, well, did you see that tonight since you're saying that, you know, you need to see it? And he just said, well, I haven't seen the tape. But it was sort of like he was hinting that not everyone was all in for the entire game, which I don't think is surprising for those of us that watch the game, right? That starts with the coaching staff always to me. Guys playing all out for 60 minutes, and if that starts to become in question, that's when we start talking about lost locker rooms and things like that. I don't think we are there yet, but like I said before, when you need to show some kind of progress. There needs to be – guys in the locker room need to see it to know that, hey, we're buying in for a reason here because there's, you know, there's an end game at some point. Right now, we don't know what the end game is. Carm, you brought up the first-round draft pick. That's not good. It's still September here. And you had back-to-back winless Septembers for the first time since 1997 and 1998, the Wani years.
Yeah, you know, Adam, I got to tell you, I think that locker room is lost, and it shows by the way that they lack intensity or the flying around. Dallas, look, they've got two really nice corners and a middle linebacker, but the one thing that they stress on defense is everybody goes to the ball, and you just don't see that with the Bears. So it's hard to buy into the fact that, you know, these. I just think you're seeing guys playing out the string, and it's only week three.
Yeah, and if that's the case, I mean, that's a huge problem. Look, it really hurts them. It's just reality. I'm not trying to make excuses, but not having Eddie Goldman in there really hurts them. Not having Danny Trevathan out there really hurts them just because they don't have the depth. I mean, they don't have the guys that we saw tonight, the Jonathan Andersons, the Christian Joneses. These are guys we saw last year, and we found out that they couldn't really play, right? So it's not good to see them in there again. But it's also concerning when you have rookies like Leonard Floyd. Did you guys see Leonard Floyd tonight? Because I'm just looking back in my head.
And I don't remember. He got spun around by Witten once. He got turned inside and outside on one play. Yeah. He looked ridiculous. And then, no, you're right, Adam. He didn't show up, and that's the problem. Kevin White had flashes of, okay, maybe he might be okay, but then he drops a duck pass into his arms. It just,
yeah.
There's lack of consistency with the top.
Kevin White was targeted 14 times, came up with only six catches. And it's, at some point, you know, on the defensive side, You gotta get to the quarterback. And the last 2 weeks, we're playing rookies, and they're basically making us look foolish. Now, essentially with three rookies we played in these first three games, we're 0-3. The next four out of the next 5 weeks, we're going to play Stafford, Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers, and Sam Bradford. Do you think that John Fox, Vic Fangio, Ed Donatell, the secondary, do you think they have any answers moving forward? Because what we saw tonight, it looked like a 9-on-7 drill.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I don't, it's not, that gets back to what I was just saying in terms of, like, last year you went 0-3, and at least we were like, all right, well, you played the Packers, you played the Cardinals, played the Seahawks, and then they at least won in week four. This year, the competition's not as good that you just went 0-3 against. And you got the Lions next week. You guys remember the last time the Bears beat the Lions? Because I couldn't believe this when I looked this up tonight.
2011, wasn't it?
It was 2012. It was Lovie Smith's 12. Final game. They have not beaten the Lions since Lovie Smith was fired. They won that last game for him when they went 10-6, and they fired him anyway. And it's been six straight losses to the Detroit Lions, which that's at least the one team in the NFC North that you should be able to beat.
Yeah, it's bad, Adam. I mean, we're all feeling the same thing, and it's just, it's hopefully they can get to Stafford, because if they can, it's going to be another long game for everybody.
Well, I think the problem is, it's very clear and simple. It's John Fox and his coaching staff. Okay, and again, you have to prepare to play for 16 games. All right, and you don't start the week of the first game. This all goes back, Adam, to training camp. I know you were down there. What did they do in training camp? Nothing. What did they do in the exhibition season?
Nothing.
Nothing. They played their regulars. Offensively, there's four exhibition games. None of them played the fourth game. If you go back and look at them, you'll see in the first three games that maybe our offensive first team might have played a total of a game and a half, max of two games. Okay? Nobody played in the fourth game, and then we go and play our opening game, and, like, we're supposed to go out there and, like, fire balls and play everything. There was no sense of purpose. There was no objectives that were set out and that were met in training camp and exhibition season, and that's why you see what the hell is going on right now. That's why we're 0-3. There was nothing set. They did nothing. And I'll say it now, and I'll say it next week and the following week and whenever. And somebody proved me wrong.
I think you said it all last year too, OB, if I remember correctly.
Well, he's got a good point. I mean,
right?
They don't do anything.
I know.
It's good to have competition in training camp, but if you're cutting all the guys that because they ended up not being that good when you have them competing against each other, and then the end result is you're going into week one and it's a good point. This offense didn't really work together all that much in the preseason, so it's really not that much of a surprise that we see them struggle against a really good defense in the Houston Texans in week one, and then all of a sudden Jay Cutler has a hand injury in week two, and he's not himself, and now you're going with Brian Hoyer in week three. None of this is consistent, and it's really hard to build that way. So I agree that you could do more of that in the preseason than what the Bears have done these last two seasons.
That's exactly and why we are where we are. They did nothing. They did nothing. They didn't work on the running game. They didn't work on the passing game. They had our starters play limited time. What, we're the New England Patriots?
Hey, Adam.
It's hysterical.
Adam, one last thing, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but something happened at the closing moments of last week's game when Pernell McPhee came off the sidelines and got in Cutler's face, and there was some issues. And whether you like it or not, all I can say is when there's a void, something is going to fill that vacuum. And McPhee, why he isn't ready for training camp, that's one thing I'm still puzzled by. And now he's on the PUP list for 6 weeks. And for him to think that he has to kind of challenge somebody, it means nobody else is being daddy. Nobody's challenging anybody. And at the end of the day, this team is starting to fracture right in front of our eyes. And it's all because of the lack of leadership. And there's a certain quality. When you make everybody work like dogs, the team comes together. That's what training camp in Rensselaer was about. That's what it was in Platteville. Now it's a daycare. And you can see this team is already being fractured, and it's because of a lack of leadership. Do you not agree?
You know, hey, Adam, let me jump in here again. When you go to training camp, you get ready to set to have your players define who they are, and you should know by the end of training camp. Then you go into the exhibition season, and you have everything set pass-wise, running-wise, what you're going to do, the players you're going to use, how much they're going to play. And then look what happened in training camp. And again, I can't stop beating on this because that's the reason why we are, again, where we are. My God, you don't even have – here we have a rookie, Whitehair. He doesn't play the fourth exhibition game, doesn't play it down, and a few days later they announce that he's going to be our starting center, and he only took 10 snaps through training camp in the exhibition season. Has somebody lost their mind up there?
Hey, that's a perfect one. I couldn't. That's the best example you could probably give of exactly what you're talking about, OB and Hamp. To get back to what you were talking about with Cutler and Purnell, let me just say, I have not forgotten about that. I'm not going to forget about it because they may have glossed that over last week and said, oh, we're teammates and teammates fight and blah, blah, blah. But that doesn't just happen. And those are two. That's your offensive captain and your defensive captain. So you use the word fracture. That's probably fair at this point, at least at 0-3. Now, we'll see. John Fox said tonight, these are the guys that I believe in the locker room, and he thinks they're the guys. Well, we'll see going forward because, like you guys said, the schedule doesn't get any easier. You got much better quarterbacks coming up, and if there is a fracture, well, it's probably going to get bigger in the next few weeks unless there's really not and they come together. But I don't know, guys.
What Fox means is these are the guys that's going to be bringing in pizza when he gets on the plane.
Adam, we got to go. Great work, man. We'll read you at WGNradio.com. Check out Adam Hoge's Bears blog. Got you, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
All right, see you guys.
There goes Adam Hoge. All right, hey, do this series this week, guys. You guys messed me up last week, so don't do it again. Placing a loved one in a nursing home is one of life's most difficult decisions.
Did you just threaten us?
I might have, but that's a bad strategy. I'm aware. You deserve only the best care for your loved ones in return. Sadly, nursing home negligence is real, and it's a serious problem. Neglect and abuse of the elderly happen every day. The law firm of Konasek and Dillon wants to know that nursing home negligence can cause serious life-threatening medical conditions like dehydration and malnutrition, fractures, infections, pressure sores, and even death. You suspect a loved one is a victim of negligence or abuse in a nursing home, call Konasek and Dillon. The law firm of Konasek and Dillon will advise and help your family through the painful ordeal of injuries or death caused by nursing home negligence. Konasek and Dillon understands that entrusting a loved one to a nursing home is one of life's most difficult decisions. Protect your loved ones. Call Konasek and Dillon, 630-262-9655. Consultations always free. Call Konasek and Dillon, 630-262-9655. Wrap up the show. Coming back here, 720 WGN. Dorf.
To the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Seven more minutes. Hamp will be with Kaz. Drive of the Game, sponsored by Patrick. I should say sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. Click PatrickCars.com. Kaz? Drive of the game?
I would say after the defense got the strip fumble, the offense went out and scored for the first time in the second half. And really nice drive that they put together and cut it to a two-score game. Unfortunately, we could never get anything really going after that.
You guys have been looking for positives. You haven't mentioned the fact that the Bears did outscore the Cowboys 14-7 in the second half.
Garbage time.
Yeah.
Crickets? Anybody?
But, you know, again, you know, a journey begins with a single step, and Zach Miller was involved. There were some good things with the running game. I mean, we've got to try to latch on to something here as we look forward to this coming game against the Detroit Lions. You know, I thought it was 2011 the last time we beat them. It was 2012. So, I mean, it's been a long time.
It's been
they
long
got to latch
way.
On to something, you say, big guy?
Yeah.
How
yeah.
about a little more religion, a little more praying, guys?
There you go.
Because I tell you what, the other stuff isn't working.
Next game preview.
Go to prayer, boys.
God in heaven.
Next game preview sponsored by Arlington Heights Ford. Number one in what matters most. That would be you. Lions lost to the Green Bay Packers today, 34-27. We got a whole lot of Matthew Stafford, but no Calvin Johnson, long retired at this point.
Yeah, but they're spreading the ball around. They're dangerous. But most importantly, Ziggy Ansah is their defensive right end. And last year when we were in that game, and if you guys remember, Antrell Roll was still on the team, and he made a horrible play on a jump ball to a tight end that kept a drive going where they went down and scored in the final minute of the game. But Ziggy Ansah had hit Cutler at least six or seven times and had two sacks in the game. So, first things first, if he's playing, and he was out today, but he'll be back this coming week, hey, if he's got one leg, he'll be back to play against Charles Leno.
Yeah, because he wants to pad his stats, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a fight at the bat rack. Anyway, first things first, we have got to be able, hey, put tight ends over there, chop, do whatever you can, got to get him blocked.
Gentlemen, we will see you next week. It's a noon kickoff, so we'll be with you 3 until 6 next Sunday afternoon right here on 720 WGN. Yes, OB.
Nice to be back at noontime. We go on right about 3 o'clock, folks.
And my bad, we're actually next week we've got some Blackhawk hockey, so we're on a little bit early. We're on at 2:30. So, I mean, they're moving us up a half hour because I guess they figure the game will be over by that point, but maybe they'll be wrong. 2:30 to 5 tomorrow, to next Sunday.
Next Sunday. Looking forward to it.
All right, guys.
And you can watch us on CLTV, I think, too, yes, during that time frame, right?
That is correct. We'll be on CLTV
for an hour
as well.
And then the last 2 hours we're on the Cartoon Network.
Yes.
and then we're going to do a sidewalk show from 5 to 6 if people need to, you know, extra contact. Because if they lose next week at 0-4, they might need some more time with you guys.
I'm going
to
tell you something. You know how bad that's going to be? I'll tell you what, the people in the city live for the Chicago Bears. I mean, great, the Cubs are doing whatever they've done, first time in 100 and whatever years. But I'll tell you, this is really a bear town. And my Lord, we haven't had anything to cheer about or whatever. And boy, they better show up and play their hearts out. If they lose, they better go down in flames. I mean, none of this pussyfooting around. They got to go after people. That's the only way they can do it. We're not good enough to outfox somebody else or outplay them. We got to outslug them. No, we got to go after them.
No pun intended. All right, guys. Have a great night. Trust is everything. It's golden for your insurance needs. It's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich, jeffvuk.com. Give me a Vuk on the way out the door.
The Vuk!
That's what I'm talking about. Serving our area for 38 years. Nationwide is on your side. Jeff Vuk.com. News at midnight coming up, 720 WGN.